Good morning. When I was a younger priest in another parish many, many years ago, I used to visit a couple and bring Holy Communion to the wife. They were from Nigeria, and the woman, Angela, was severely arthritic. Very much so. The husband, Valentine, then a great name, Valentine, would dutifully remind me of my need to visit each month. And I would make the short trip to their apartment about 1 mile from the church. Angela was always sitting on their couch, having been carried there by her husband. Her body was shriveled, her eyesight was poor, and she had very little to say except for some mumbles and some discernible words, but very little to say. It was clear that she was often in pain, but she was always smiling for my visit, and she patiently let Valentine do all the talking, which he was always happy to do. On one visit, I remember him telling me about their life in Nigeria, about their lazy, freeloading son, who was actually in the next room, about his days as he spends them with his wife, often with doctor's appointments and visits to the pharmacy and caring for her. He tended to her every need, as was necessary because of her broken condition. It was a lot of work, clearly, and he casually spoke about the suffering that was a part of their life together. Certainly wasn't how things began. And at one point he said, "But in the suffering there is great joy, Father." And then he nodded and he smiled, as if that explained everything. "In the suffering, there is great joy, Father." It was one of those little statements that we often say as people of faith, right? I thought, it's like everything happens for a reason. We say that, don't we? Sometimes the reason is I'm a dummy. But there's always a reason. Everything happens for some purpose. Or he's in a better place. Right, we'll say that too. One of those pious assertions that we will say, and they almost sound scriptural, right? I listened to him and I heard him say that about suffering. And I had to ask, and I did, I asked him sincerely, "What do you mean? There's great joy in suffering. What do you mean by that?" I wanted to explain how he found joy in the midst of the suffering that he and his wife experienced. I needed to know. And he told me that indeed it was hard to see his wife as she was now, broken and bent, hurting and needy. Sure. However, in that neediness, the Lord was calling forth tenderness from him. Tenderness that he didn't think he had. Tenderness that he never thought he could show. And through Angela's hardships and his share in them as her husband, he was learning to see the face of Jesus in the midst of suffering. And he would never have seen it had it not been for her suffering. To be sure, they didn't ask for it, and they would certainly have liked to have seen it alleviated. But without this particular experience that God had dealt them, and he was sure that it was God's doing, they would not be in the same Christians that they were today. That suffering was a gift, and in that gift they found joy. And he truly believed it. It was clear. He truly believed that the suffering was a gift and that it brought great joy. And so do I. Because they shared it with me. I saw it played out. I've seen it played out. I've also seen it poorly played out, where suffering is complained about, avoided, downplayed, hidden. We all have our ways of coping, right? But they shared that great lesson with me, and it was one of the greatest blessings of my priesthood. I truly mean it. I've had a lot of great blessings as a priest. This one particular lesson that these two people taught me, this old Nigerian couple in a small apartment in Middle River, gave me one of the greatest blessings, the realization that in suffering is great joy. Friends, today is Gaudete Sunday, a day amid Advent's spirit of waiting and longing when we don our gay apparel and respond to God's call to be joyful. This is the meaning of this particular Sunday, and it is our duty to be joyful. Even St. Paul says, rejoice always. It's a command. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's easy to do when I have great things to be thankful for. When I'm not feeling so thankful, should I continue to respond to that command? Yeah. But that's not easy. Even in the middle of all the terrible suffering and the misery and the uncertainty that exists in our lives and in the world, Jesus, through his church, bids us to be joyful. Why are we joyful? Because the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Even with everything that could be going wrong in your life, even with everything that is going wrong in the world, even through the toughest struggles that we can face, the Lord is near. And we are called to see that and to rejoice. But it isn't self-evident, is it? Sometimes we nod our head, oh yeah, there's great suffering, great joy in suffering. That's not self-evident. That doesn't present it to us ourselves as a super truth. How can I be joyful when depression is a regular part of my life? How can I be joyful when I'm afraid to turn on the TV lest I hear of school shootings and drug problems, failing economies, and war? How can I be joyful when so many things seem to go wrong and weigh me down? The bathroom is clogged up. We can't use it this morning. That's true, actually. You can't use the bathroom this morning. You got to go next door. It's the point of going on when the bathroom doesn't work. Why are we joyful this day? This is the struggle that every Christian faces, that we are redeemed and yet still experience the effects of our sin and the fall. That's the tension that we live in as Christians. We are already saved, but not yet. John the Baptist comes to us again this week. With all the excitement and expectations surrounding his ministry, people were sure that he was the Messiah, that he would deliver them from their hardships and their suffering. He was the one they could get excited about. However, today, John is clear that this is not so. He is not the one. But if they open their eyes now, they might catch a glimpse of him. Right there. There is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, he says. In other words, as these people, the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, the poor folks from all around, as they stood there listening to John, right there in their midst was the one whom they were expecting. In other words, the crowd listening to them, among that crowd was Jesus. Just hanging out. That was the one. And that filled John with joy, because he knew he was there. Jesus just sort of probably giggled about the fact that nobody knew who he was yet. That's the joy of our faith. The Lord is truly near. And they didn't even know it. Eventually they would come to know him, and then they wouldn't have to make their decision to follow him. But right now they were too caught up in their own projects, in their own struggles, in their own expectations that were projected onto this guy, John. This is Advent. That's what Advent is about expectation. But it's also about our hectic life, isn't it? About all the projects we have going on, the list we have to fill, the things we have to get, the places we have to go, the problems and the stresses that we have, the suffering that doesn't bring us into the joy of the season. When we get caught up only in all of that stuff, well, then we miss the one that we wait for. Here we are, perhaps worried about all these things that I mentioned. Perhaps we even consider ourselves to be suffering, and that may well be. But I'm convinced now, I stand before you convinced, like Valentine and Angela, that there is joy in suffering. What is God calling out of you in that suffering? What is God calling out of those around you in that suffering? That is where you will encounter the face of Jesus. That is where you will see him. That is where you will discover true joy. Do you really believe that? Pray about that. That's our faith. That's what I am convinced of. Jesus has saved us. Jesus has redeemed you and opened eternal life for you and given you that life. No matter what happens, Jesus has done that for you. And through his cross, his suffering, and his resurrection, we are given the grace to experience that mercy, the love, and the healing that God wills for his children. If we really believe that, then there is cause for great joy. Open your eyes now. There is one among us whom we may not always recognize, who stands ready to lead us into that joy. God's goodness often comes in unexpected ways. In a tiny host here at Mass, in a stranger standing in a crowd, in a child crying in a stable, or even in a church, or even in an immigrant couple in an apartment in Middle River. And discovering that goodness of God brings us joy.